Kindness is the ability to love people unconditionally. Kindness is the ability to love. Kindness is the ability to love people unconditionally. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. Kindness is the ability to love people unconditionally. Ipso facto, no one in the world is kind, because no one in the world can love unconditionally. Now that's kind of a tough thing, isn't it? It's tough to think that we cannot love unconditionally, and yet we can't. Because if I say to Ellen, I just heard on the news that there is a avalanche in Switzerland, right above Lugano, and it came thundering down on Lugano. Now, immediately, Ellen thinks Lugano, avalanche, where would that mountain be? Where would that snow be? And certainly it would not reach Mariella nor Diego, you know. It just wouldn't do that, you know. Now, if I say, Ellen, there's an avalanche on Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, and it has gone down onto the jungle villages of many people. And Ellen say, oh, that's too bad. Ellen, there's an avalanche in Lugano, and it came down upon Diego and Mariella and their families, and the boys said, Mother, you see why I want to learn how to surf? And so he says, well, I've been learning, so follow me. And so he showed them how to dive right into the avalanche and come out the other side secure and safe, because he learned how to surf by reading a book. Now, again, you would be concerned about your family, and you wouldn't be concerned about what's going on in other areas of the world. In Bangladesh, they had a great flood, and 2,000 people were killed, and 200,000 were homeless, and so forth. Now, you say, that's too bad. But it doesn't touch you. You see, when you're unconditionally loving, not that you should be touched by these things, but when you're unconditionally loving, you're not touched by anything. You surround all with your pure white light of love. You surround all with right action, with divine right action. You surround all with the realization that everything is in divine order. Now, how long did it take you to go from the thought that the avalanche was on Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa and came thundering down upon these jungle villages? Did you at any point along the way say, all is in divine order? No. Did you at any point along the way say, oh, I see all in perfect order. I see all in divine order. Did you at any point along the way put another cause in motion? Or was it not important to you? Now, did you put another cause in motion when I spoke about Lugano? No. You really didn't care, because you thought that was ludicrous. Well, don't ever think anything is ludicrous, because those things do happen. Those things do happen. True, Lugano may never have an earthquake. It may never have a volcanic action. And yet, the mountains there are still quite young. They are young mountains, tall and vigorous mountains. And it's true, they are not earthquake prone or volcanic prone. It could happen. Mount St. Helena, they didn't expect that. They knew it was possible, but they didn't expect it when it happened. And boom! Krakatoa, remember Krakatoa? Were you there? One of the greatest volcanic eruptions in the history of mankind. It blackened the sky all over the world for 3 days. And it did more than that, of course. But for 3 days, the sky was dark. because one little old mountain blew its top. You know? That's amazing. Now, when it happened and people knew it happened, did they immediately say, all is in divine order? Now, you're going to laugh at me, but you've seen photography, and you've seen photography where a man is jumping over a tree, a log or something, and then you've seen it reversed, where the man jumped backwards over the log and went back to where he had been before he jumped over the log, okay? Now, do you think that that is a joke? Do you think that that's only trick photography? Or do you think that that has any reality? I guarantee you, and I do a lot of guaranteeing, I guarantee you that if you have unconditional love, you will instantly see something which is negative for humanity, as far as you're concerned, justified. The mountain instantly got its cap back on, and everything was in order. And you said, peace, peace, peace. Ellen, how many square miles of this earth, on how many square miles of this earth could things happen and not disturb communities? Millions of square miles, billions of square miles, lots of square miles, lots of ocean area. But don't have it happen in the ocean. You get seismic waves and stuff like that. But anyhow, so over this endless plane of nothingness, such things could take place if that's what one wants to have. But it doesn't have to happen at all. Because, you see, if you are a Hindu, you will be equally disturbed by something that takes place in no place. You follow me? It takes place in a desert, desolate land, because the Hindus will tell you, there are creatures there. There are bugs. There are animals that live in that wasteland. And they would be harmed. And they would want no harm to any of the living creatures. It's a kind of a beautiful philosophy, isn't it? They want no harm to any living creature. Now, we say, but we're worse than that. We say, if it's not our children, our backyard, our community, we don't care. And part of the indication that we don't care is when there's a tragedy like that, how many people send care packages to that community? How many people reach out to help them with money, with things, and try to put things back in order for them? How many people help them to do that? That's unconditional love. Not necessary, but it's unconditional love. You see, if it were your children, or your mother and father, or your family in any way, and they were in a difficult circumstance, you'd be there faster than you could say Jack Robinson. Because you have a conditional love for them. But an unconditional love is a very special and a very rare thing. And as people develop the awareness of unconditional love. Now, giving to people who have a tragedy is not ipso facto unconditional love. It could be any number of things. It could be you're trying to get off your guilt for having not helped before, or having not helped your own family, or doing some of these things. It could be many of these things, or it could be nothing. It could be just the bigness of your heart. I would imagine if we could research all the people who give in time of tragedy, in time of emergency, we'd find that the same people give and give and give. The same people are the ones who are touched by the needs of the world. They're the same people. And they're the people who adopt the homeless children. They're the people who go to church regularly, whatever the church may be. They're the people who feel that they have a privilege living in this life. And that privilege includes love one another, The privilege is unconditional love. Of course, in truth, they really aren't unconditionally loving because they have anger for someone who does something wrong, or they have anger for the sky breaking down and flooding the people out of their homes and what have you. But truly, when we can learn unconditional love, it has no place for anger. It has no place for misunderstanding. It has no place for possession. It has no place for judgment of any kind. Now, you say, wow, I'd love to be in unconditional love. I'd love to be in that frame of reference. Well, okay. Who can recite the four words that I've told you are the preparation for unconditional love?
Kindness.
What?
Kindness. Oh, that was...
Who can recite the four conditions I have taught you are for
love.
Unconditional love? What?
Untouched.
Untouched.
One-pointed.
One-pointed.
Non-possessed.
Non-possession.
And non-judgmental.
And non-judgmental. Those four simple little things that you can understand very well. Can you be non-judgmental?
Mm.
That's tough. Mm. But there you start. Can you be untouched by the world? That's tough too, because you want to go and help people, you know. And can you be one-pointed in everything that you do? Have your mind directly aimed at exactly where you want to go without wavering one little bit?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sylvia's sitting there so pious and so right and so proper, and then the puppies come over and try to get her attention. And she gives them her attention. She says, go away, go away. So they got her attention, you know. It's like a little boy who said, Daddy gave me a spanking, isn't that wonderful? Well, it's wonderful. Well, he gave me some attention. He gave me some attention. So, we would like to have that unconditional love. Kindness is the ability to love people unconditionally. But what kind of kindness is it? Is it kindness to be untouched? Is it kindness to have no judgment? Is it kindness to be in all these four areas? It surely is. But we want to think that kindness is doing something nice for others. And you all make me smile so deeply. There are no others. There's only you. Kindness is doing nice things for yourself. And what's the first nice thing you can do for yourself?
Love,
love yourself. Unconditionally would be desirable, but love yourself. And when you love yourself, can you be unhappy with anybody else?
No.
Can you see anybody else in the world with problems?
No.
You see, you're the master. You're the master. We, with our work here as a practitioner, we are learning this sort of thing, but very slowly. People come up and say, I got to tell you my problem. I got to tell you. And we say, I don't want to hear your problem. If I hear your problem, then I got to wash it out of my mind and put in the new experience that you want to have. I got to tell you. Well, you see, as a master, we have a very simple thing. We just take our earphones out of our ears, you know, and then we say, well, go right ahead. We don't hear a word they say. Or as you might say, you put a stopper in your ear.
Yeah.
And you don't hear a word they say. Okay. And then when they take a deep sigh, you know they got it all out. Then you take out your earplugs, and then you say, all right, now what would you like to see happen? I mean, we don't talk about retribution. We don't talk about hurting someone else because we've been hurt. We say, what would you like to see happen? And we were talking to a lady the other day, and the lady has a relationship, and the young man in the relationship is very possessive. And the lady would like to see the young man not be so possessive. She likes him, and they have a good friendship going, but she would enjoy not having him be so possessive. So she said, he is not possessive of me. And I said, whoops-a-daisy, sweetheart. You don't care whether he's possessive of you or not if he's not your friend. If he is somebody in New York that you have no association with, you don't care whether he possesses you or not. He's not in your world. But what you want to say is, I am surrounded by loving people. I am surrounded by people whom I find great joy in their presence. I am surrounded by people who love themselves unconditionally and who have, and you don't want to say who have no interest in loving me possessively, because that's putting the thing in motion. You want to put in just the contrary. And what would you say to say about a person that they don't love you possessively? What would you say?
Unconditionally.
Well, that's a good one, but then you'd never be loved. As you got to recognize it first. But what would you say? I am loved for myself, you know. Or if it's this man, you say he is in love with himself and he recognizes his own purity and his own goodness. He is just a super being. You see, he likes himself so much. He does not have the capacity to possess anybody else. He is fulfilled in his own love. It's not a narcissistic love, a love that is, you know, egoistic in that respect, but it's a love that he recognizes, I like me, you know, I love me. And she should say that of herself. But you see, she needs the possession he has, and he needs the possession she has. And so they both need that because they need to feel needed,
wanted,
yeah. They need to feel needed and wanted. And what a strange thing to do. What a strange thing to do, to be needed and wanted. The only person you should ever be needed and wanted by is nobody. If you're ever needed and wanted by somebody, be careful. They have ulterior reasons for needing and wanting you. Ulterior motives that you are not really happy about. And you too. If you need yourself and you want yourself, if you have to feel yourself and feel your body and say, oh, that feels so good, you know, you're sick. Because you feel yourself from the inside. When I tell you, I say everyone should learn to do the energy massage. And that's where you take your hand and you go over your skin, maybe a quarter of an inch or eighth an inch or half an inch above the skin. You might touch the hair follicles or something like that, but you're above the skin. And you're saying to your body, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. You're not saying, oh, body, you feel so good. You know, you just say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the body is your vehicle. It is your instrument of sharing. It is nothing at all. You can take it or leave it, and you do. And as you wish. But the body is not your reality. Your reality is what goes on in your inner being. So learn to love yourself. Unconditionally is a good way, but I mean, that'll come. Learn to love yourself. Learn to be one-pointed. Learn to do all these simple things that you can do. If I say love unconditionally, you say, sure, sure, that's easy to say. But if I say don't judge, be non-judgmental. You want to explode from the inside because you're judging so much, you know. Don't be touched. Oh, but they're driving me mad, you know. Well, why are they driving you mad with what they're doing? It has nothing to do with you. But it affects me. I can see it. Now close your eyes. I can still see it. But you see, we want to be untouched. We want to be non-judgmental. We want to be one-pointed. And being one-pointed, oh, that is a fun one. Because right now, little Love is snuggling himself against Sylvia's toes there, saying, come on, pet me some more, you know? And Sylvia says, you don't exist. I am untouched. But she's touched. just as long as she's not touched. But she's touched, and so is everybody else whenever a pet comes around. And the pet knows it. And the pet enjoys it. And that's all part of the game. But play this game by these rules. And realize that the ability to love people unconditionally is living in your divine right order, living in your divine self, living in your reality, living in your allness. Train yourself to do that. And you'll find the benefit in training yourself to do that is so great, you will say to yourself, why didn't I do that before? And that's the way it goes. Yes, have a wonderful day, and take these pseudo-impossibilities and put them to work and show the world that they may be impossible for others, but they're not impossible for you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.